These false teachers, they display such confidence and arrogance, but they are clueless and oblivious. They boast of understanding. They boast that they know truth and that they know life. But the Bible tells us their destination is certain death.
Welcome to Live in the Light, dear listeners and friends. I'm Shannon. I'm your host today, and I'm in the studio with Pastor Robbie Simons. We are right in the middle of our series, Character, Corruption, and the Second Coming. Whoa, that's a tongue twister. Hey, Robbie, where did that title come from?
Well, it came from the Bible, right? Thanks for asking. I mean, that is dividing up the themes of 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. That is exactly what's happening. Peter focusing by the Holy Spirit on the character of God's people. The last chapter is focusing on the second coming of Christ. And then the seriousness of chapter 2, which we are today, is the reality of the corruption and the devastation that false teachers planted by Satan seek to infect the church and believers with poison and seek to lead people astray away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this chapter, Shane, as we know, we listened to some of it so far, it is very serious, it is very sobering, but listen, it's also really needed. It's really needed. Like, I kind of get excited on passages like this. I know it's heavy, and I know our listeners will feel the heaviness at times, but that is appropriate because when you weigh out the reality of what's happening in this world and the reality of eternity, either in heaven or hell, that becomes a massive deal, obviously. Peter loves the church enough to tell them the truth, and we must do the same. So here at Living the Light, we are committed to speaking the truth in love, but to love people with the truth. And so that's why this message today is so important. And we pray that our listeners, as you opened up with our wonderful, wonderful listeners, that they would be moved by God, they would be instructed by the Holy Spirit, and they'd be encouraged to live with sobriety and with eternity in mind. And I think that's what the text will do today, as it warns us, but also it can also encourage us with how we are to live.
Yeah, I agree. We are big on God's truth, and today we want to put a light on that. So today's message is a sobering one, like Robbie said, but I'm going to encourage you to follow along in your Bible if you can, and you can open it now to 2 Peter chapter 2, and here we go, the devastating corruption of false teachers.
Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Peter? The letter of 2 Peter will be in chapter 2 again, finishing up chapter 2. Today, in many ways, this is part 2 of our message last week. Pastor Brandon did a wonderful job in leading us through the first half of chapter 2, and we'll be seeking to unpack the second half of chapter 2. The entire chapter of 2 Peter is a sobering detail of a few main things. It's an unpacking of a sobering detail as to the deception, the devastation, and the ultimate destruction that will come upon false teachers. That's what chapter 2 in 2 Peter is about. It's detailing, quite graphically, the deception, the devastation, and the ultimate destruction that will come upon false teachers. So, but we are in God's Word, and one of the things we do as we preach God's Word, and again, in expository preaching, we go verse by verse, and this is where we are today. And so we both are aware of the sobriety of a message like this today and last week, but we're also aware of the authority of God's Word and the need for God's Word in our lives as well. The sobering wickedness of false teachers is this, is that they long to see others destroyed with them. They are trying to bring people down a path of destruction, whether they are fully conscious of that or not. You think of someone who longs to bring people with them destruction. Who does that remind you of? It reminds you of Satan. This is Satan's greatest goal. In John 10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what Satan desires to do. See, Satan specializes in the counterfeit. And Satan wants to counterfeit. Again, he presents it, looks like truth, but it's not. He wants to deceive. And the reason he wants to deceive, because he ultimately wants to destroy. So one of the great tactics that Satan uses over the course of history in his deception is to employ false teachers. That's what Satan does. He employs false teachers to gather people away from the light, away from Christ, away from the truth, because in the end, again, like there's not, it's not like Satan is like 98% bad and evil and 2% good. He's 100% pure evil. You've always got to remember that. Like, so whatever he represents, man, they're like, there's not a part, well, that's not bad. No. It's all bad. It's all evil. It's all very serious. It's all very grievous. So what we need to know as we go through, again, 2 Peter, and by the way, I want you to understand this too. One of the reasons we are in this epistle, the letter of 2 Peter, is because we want to be in chapter 2. Chapter 2 speaks powerfully to our day today. It's a tough chapter. Again, it's graphic today. It's sobering last week and this week, but it's a needed word. It brings great detail as to the devastation that we currently face. It's always amazing to me, this word written like basically 2,000 years ago, and here we are today, and how relevant it is because God wrote it. And God knows exactly what we need as his people and as the church. So we are seeking to discern in our day with truth and wisdom. To discern what? Deception. To discern the dishonesty. To discern the destruction that is trying to come upon us and lead us. To discern the darkness that is around us. It's very, very, very important that we grow in wisdom and maturity in that sense. A couple weeks ago, I told you that I was in Ottawa in the last month, and I was meeting with some believing MPs on Parliament Hill, and I was so amazed. The one particular group that we met with, I think I mentioned this, is that to a person, each one of them said as the greatest thing they're sensing is the reality of spiritual darkness, again, in our nation's capital. That was profound to me. That sobered me. In some ways, that was emotional as well. You have, again, believing Christ-following politicians there, and the single greatest thing that they want us to know is the reality of darkness that is so present in our day, at least where they find themselves. Wow. Because in the end, it's a battle between good and evil. That's what's happening around us, and this is exactly what we need to be reminded of. So again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Take a look now. Very, very serious stuff and a lot of description here in our text today. We'll start with the first few verses. Verse 10. Describing the false teachers, they are bold and willful. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. Verse 12, but these false teachers, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, wow, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant. They don't know what they're talking about. They will also be destroyed in their destruction. Not my words, God's word. Suffering wrong as they wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Wow. And Peter almost can't take it anymore. He just says and pronounces, accursed children, ! Forsaken the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing. Verse 16, but he was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Let's just stop right there. Can I just say, okay, wow, okay? A lot of detail and a lot of truth that is very sobering for us. A tough text this week again, tough text last week, tough text this week. Battling it out in my study in some ways, just begging the Lord for clarity, understanding, insight, and application for us right now. Again, there's a seriousness like there needs to be. I certainly feel it this weekend, and I pray that you will rightly as well. So we start here today. We're unpacking the devastating corruption of false teachers. The devastating corruption of false teachers. We learn this about false teachers. Number one, they revel in wickedness and wrongdoing. False teachers love wickedness and wrongdoing. It's what they live for. They revel in it. This is what God's word is telling us today. So as we jump into our text today, I want you to remind you of our series title. It's beside me, behind me here. It's Character Corruption and the Second Coming. This is essentially outlining Peter's epistle in chapter 1, 2, and 3. And the reason this is so important here to remind us again today is that every healthy ministry will be aware of all three. Every healthy ministry is aware of the divine power of God and the truth of God, pointing to us to grow in the character of God. And churches must emphasize that reality. But you can't just stop there. Every healthy ministry will also focus on the reality of 2 Peter chapter 2, which is a strong, strong vigilance against the enemies coming against God. We'll be aware, and it's so important for messages like today to be vigilant and on guard against the false teachers, against the attack on the truth. This is one of Satan's greatest methods. And then finally, in chapter 3, every healthy ministry will also anticipate the coming victory of God. We're excited to be there in the coming weeks, Lord willing. Some churches just want to focus on the essence of growing in character, but that's not enough. That's good, not enough. Some churches just want to be kind of aggressively going after false teachers. That's good, it's not enough. Some churches, again, seek the balance of having all three happening here, which is what we desire to be as well. Want to grow in Christ, want to be vigilant against errors and false teachers, and we want to ultimately proclaim the victory of God. That's what a healthy ministry does. This is being exemplified for us here in 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3. But in chapter 2 now, which again, obviously, is where we are, Peter takes a deep dive as to the intentions and the threats of false teachers. He emphasizes the seriousness of the sins of false teachers. He elaborates on these. He unpacks them. Again, I just want to warn you, Peter's very graphic in many ways here as well. Peter, when he writes this, he is furious. We see that. He is furious with evil. He should be, and we should be too. He is furious at what the false teachers are trying to do to devastate the sheep of the church. So he's leaving his readers no doubt as to what is happening. He's like, beware of the seduction of false teachers, the severity of false teachers, and how serious this is, right? So again, it is right for us today, church here, Orangeville, those in Overflow listening right now, whoever, again, is listening, whatever means and form right now, this is very serious. And it must be seen and received as such. In some ways, we wish it wasn't, but it is. Lives are at stake. Again, Satan is trying to destroy as many people as possible. And the main ways he does that is through the method of false teachers. So let's just understand who the false teachers are according to our text today. We have three subpoints beside me and behind me here on the screen. False teachers, number 1A, they are grossly irreverent. They are grossly irreverent. Verse 10 teaches us these false teachers were extraordinarily arrogant. They were filled with self-exaltation. They loved themselves. The text says they were bold and willful there in verse 10. And notice it says this, bold and willful. And then verse 10 says, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Now, what does that mean? Now, the interpretation here of glorious ones is admittedly difficult. Most scholars agree it is referring to evil angels. Now, that is because in verse 11, we see the introduction of angels, of good angels. It says in verse 11, whereas angels who are described as being stronger and more powerful of the angels or the glorious ones just mentioned in verse 10. Another translation for glorious ones could be celestial beings. And the reason that is important for clarification is because all beings were originally created by God. And so they were originally created by God, celestial beings, hence called here, we believe, glorious ones. I think the strongest evidence here, though, that these are referring to actually evil angels and the extraordinary arrogance of the false teachers is coming from a similar text in the book of Jude, the letter of Jude, verses 8 and 9. Again, when you're in Scripture, we interpret Scripture with Scripture. We don't isolate one text all by itself. We want to gain further meaning interpretation. We use other portions of Scripture. Look at how similar this passage is and the verses that come after this to our text today in 2 Peter chapter 2. But we get more detail here. Yet in like manner, these people, false teachers, also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme, there's this phrase, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But notice, but when the archangel Michael, good angel, contending with the devil, obviously evil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment. The archangel Michael said, that's the Lord's duty. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord will take care of that. Again, very striking, similar, almost exact phrases. And in some cases, we do have exact phrases from a passage here right now, right? We are learning here explicitly the contrast between good angels and evil angels. And the archangel Michael was unwilling to slander in this regard against the evil angels, leaving that to the Lord. But the point that Peter is making here in our text, the false teachers here represented, again, from his words, are so arrogant, are so rebellious, and so irreverent, they are willing to slander and blaspheme anything and anyone. We see in these false teachers, there is no fear of God at all. Zero. They do whatever they want. They say whatever they want. They show sin in whatever way they want as well. They are tremendously arrogant, lacking any hint or sense of reverence at all. One of the greatest concerns for our nation in recent times has been the same thing. A disappearing of any reverence or fear of God whatsoever. It's one of the signs of our society that should concern us the most. The irreverence, the lack of any sense of, again, fear of God. God is mocked. Christ is just spat on again and again, reviled. Such a growing anti-Christ flavor all around us all the time. It's incredible the boldness and the arrogance and the blasphemous nature of so many people who have no idea ultimately what they're doing. That's a sign of, again, the same things that are happening in 2 Peter chapter 2 that are happening in our day here as well. You have people that have false teaching all around them. They are blaspheming God. They are filled with evil and they don't care. They just don't care. But God cares. So we see false teachers here. They are grossly irreverent. Next, we see this, point 1b. They are destructively irrational and ignorant. Look at verse 12 now. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant. Again, they don't know what they're talking about. They will also be destroyed in their destruction. These are not my words. This is God's word. Suffering wrong as they wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. So Peter continues here in his graphic description of the false teachers. He compares them to animals who are irrational, ignorant, and destined for destruction, right? So again, wow. I'm just reading to you what God's word says. Hey, and by the way, loved ones here today, listen, like look at how this is not a game. Life is not a game. What's being described here is not a game. A heaven and hell in the balance. Eternal life, eternal death in the balance. Good versus evil all around us. It's not a game. We have to use this lens, again, as we're living, that we take on the sobriety and see the severity and the seriousness to help us live with sober-mindedness and to pray again with fervency, to be vigilant and alert and to know every day we see what's actually at stake. This is why Peter is not holding back here. It's important for us. Again, it's difficult, but it's necessary. These false teachers, they display such confidence and arrogance, but they are clueless and oblivious. They boast of understanding. They boast that they know truth and that they know life. But the Bible tells us their destination is certain death. It's interesting that Peter says in verse 13, he says, they are blots and blemishes. What's so interesting about that is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, the exact antonyms are used for believers in Jesus Christ. That in light of the return of Christ, we are to be spotless and blameless. The exact opposite of the character of the false teachers that are blots and blemishes here in chapter 2, again, verse 13. The false teachers, they revel in temporal, sinful pleasure. They just love sin. Yet this will result in eternal suffering and destruction. Notice also in verse 13, they're so bold, they're so arrogant, they're so irreverent. Most crime or sin, people will wait for darkness, not these guys. They revel in their sin in the daytime, the text says here in verse 13. They don't care. They're so blasphemous. They parade their sin for all to see. There's no sense of a hint of the fear of God or even of shame. So they're out there in the daytime in grotesque fashion with their obsession again with sinful pleasure. These false teachers, they mock the Christian biblical morality. They mock the design of God with sexuality. That's a massive theme here in chapter 2 as well. We need to take very strong notice of that. They act as though they have all the answers. They've figured out the truth. They redefine what is good. But the Bible is very clear here. They are ignorant. They are fools. They have no idea of that which they speak of. They are people who brutalize scripture. They rip out pages they don't like from the Bible. They pontificate things they're not even aware of. And yet we find that they are in utter error in the things that they speak of. The very serious warning that Peter has given, obviously here in chapter 2 with great detail. It's interesting to me that when you look at the history of mainline churches here in Canada in the last several years, the number one thing on their agenda is a passion for the sexual revolution. It's amazing to me of how much the obsession with the sexual revolution, the freedom to do whatever they seem fit, is really the driving agenda of so many of these churches that has caused them to essentially be led off the cliff into apostasy. Yes, it started with the denial of the authority of God's word. They have closed the Bible. They don't deem it as truth or whatever. But it's amazing to me how much, again, in that movement, they are just obsessed with the sexual revolution. And the Bible tells us then because of that, they are headed towards a path of destruction, because anyone who lives, again, obsessed with sexual sin, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God, the Bible says. It's serious, it's sobering, but it is reality. It's what we're learning in seriousness here today. We see the false teachers, thirdly, they have an insatiable appetite for sin. Look at verse 14, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Again, Peter almost, he just can't take it anymore. He just says, he cursed, accursed children, exclamation mark, notice. These false teachers, they have eyes full of adultery. That means every woman they encounter is a wanted object of their lust. Eyes full of adultery. By the way, church, I just want to remind you again, the utter devastation that comes from sexual sin. There is something that is so massively serious and grievous to God and devastating in our lives in terms of sexual sin. The seriousness with which the Bible speaks on this subject. How many lives are utterly decimated with the lustful longing for sexual and sensual satisfaction? We need to hear and we need to see that at the heart of these false teachers was an obsession with self-pleasure, specifically in sinful sexual pursuits. That should sober you and me pretty quickly. This is our world. It is everywhere. We don't even blush at it anymore. This is the problem. This is what we're being warned on. And you're here right now and you're here Overflow or Orangeville, whatever you are. And this is again, filling your mind and heart. Receive it for what it is, a warning from God himself. Do not trifle. You profess to be a Christ follower. You have been bought with a price. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are to live your life in holiness and honor God with your body. I mean, we do not join ourselves to prostitutes and Baal. We have to understand how God sees, and we'll see more of this as we go along today, a very, very severe and strict warning specifically against sexual sin. False teachers could care less. They love it. They revel in it. They want more of it. And listen, the text says, they entice unsteady souls to grab more people to join in their parading again of such sinful pursuits. It says they entice unsteady souls. Why enticing unsteady souls? Why not enticing steady souls as opposed to unsteady souls? Well, because it's the unsteady soul that is most vulnerable. False teachers don't pray in the strong, they pray in the weak. They don't pray in the mature, they pray in the immature. They don't pray in the stable, they pray on the unstable. Because false teachers know that they can get a person who's immature and weak and vulnerable, they're very susceptible again to believing what is not true. Think about how many people over the years have been lured into cults. They've been lured into cults by false teachers because they have not been strong and mature in the word of God. They do not know better, or they are ignorant completely. You think of false teachers entice them, they prey on them. This is what the Bible says, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. We have to grow in discernment and wisdom because they come up and they have dressed the part. They have dressed themselves as a sheep. They know phrases to say. They can say something that sounds true, but in the end, if we really look into it, then they are absolutely leading with destruction. But in the appearance, if you don't know any better, it looks good, sounds good, feels good, let's go. And the false teachers are licking their chops and rubbing their hands in delight that another victim has come under their care. This is why 2 Peter 1 verse 12, maybe you can just glance over, my Bible's open to the same page. In 2 Peter 1 verse 12, he says, you are to be established in the truth. Established in the truth. Because when you are established in the truth, you are stable in the truth. You are mature in the truth. When you are mature in the truth, you have wisdom. You have wisdom. You have discernment. You have discernment. You can distinguish between evil and good. You distinguish between evil and good. You're able to be protected and anchored in the faith again in Jesus Christ and be able to move forward again with strength, wisdom, and protection. This is why, hey, listen, loved ones, again, you have one life to live. You must grow in the truth. You must continue to increase in maturity in Jesus Christ. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. We are doing our best as a church, and you must join us in this process to grow on your own and with each other for wisdom, discernment, maturity, protection, blessing. The false teachers are everywhere. We read in verse 14, they have hearts trained in greed. The word trained there is the same word used for like a super high level athlete training themselves for competition. The effort, the discipline, the concentration, the sacrifice of training again as an elite athlete for a competition. These false teachers put the same effort in training themselves in greed. They have a longing and a lust for more money, more power, more sexual pleasure, more of self. They systematically exploit others. Why? Why do they exploit others? To feed their insatiable appetite for sin. That's why they do it. They abuse and exploit others because they just want to feed their longing and hunger for sin. And so by the end of verse 14, Peter can't take it anymore. He just says, accursed children, again, in the original exclamation mark. Peter's not cursing them. He is stating they are under the curse of God. They are under the curse of God because of the way that they are living and the deception that they are forwarding. The Apostle Paul is also very clear. Scripture, again, agrees with Scripture in Philippians chapter 3. He says this, for many false teachers of whom I've often told you now with tears, look at Paul's brokenness over this reality, walk as enemies of the cross. How does he describe those who walk as enemies of the cross? Their end is destruction, their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame. See, it's just complete irreverence, grossly irreverent, with minds obsessed with earthly things and earthly pleasure. This describes those who are walking the path of destruction and false teachers.
These messages aired each day are made possible by Live in the Light Power Partners, a generous group of donors who have pledged to give at least $30 a month to see the gospel advance. If you'd like to become a Power Partner or learn more about our ministry at Live in the Light, please visit our website at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for listening today, and please join us again next time here on Live in the Light.